Good evening. It's good to see you all. Glad to be here. Business needs to be conducted in the church, but at the same time, God gives opportunity to preach his word and hear his word, and it's for our good. And so tonight, as we turn into the book of Judges, we'll be in the book of Judges, and we'll be in chapter number 14. Anybody familiar with this portion of scripture? This isn't a test, so. Judges 14, 13, 14, 15, 16. Talking about a man that had some hair. Samson. I'm talking about Samson. I did want to interject something, though. How many of you sing Amazing Grace differently than the way it's written in the hymnal? Because whenever we sing it congregational, there's often times that I forget that that is the tune or the way that that song goes. And so I find myself struggling not to sing it the way that I just normally would on my own, because I've made it my own genre. That is one of my favorites. It's one that I sing every day, multiple times a day. Sing it with my children in the evening time. That song we hardly ever pass over. But you're right, Brother Jonathan. I don't remember the last time that we actually sang it congregationally. And it's a beautiful congregational song. It's one of those that, like I said, so many people have their own versions of the way that they articulate. And it's a beautiful thing whenever all of those voices come together in harmony. And all praise to the Lord, but it's a beautiful song to sing together. I'm really glad that that was one that you chose this evening. In that verse, Brother Jonathan, that was a tremendous verse as well. It goes actually very, very close along the lines of what God has laid on my heart this evening. I had left this morning and I was talking to Sister Chelsea and I was letting her know, you know, God had given me a message, and honestly, I battled this morning between which message to preach. And, you know, I wasn't certain that as of even just minutes before preaching that I was supposed to be preaching Romans 12. And then he showed me. He made it really clear. But he also has given me opportunity then to share this. And I praise him for that. I'm grateful for an opportunity to preach. Anytime I get an opportunity to preach, it is a privilege to me. And I know Brother Jonathan would relate that same thing. But also at the same time, this is a fearful thing for a man to stand up here and to preach the Word of God. And it should be. But tonight we'll be in Judges 14, and I want to show you, we do our evening reading with our kids. We go in once they get to bed, we lay them down, we tuck them in, we sing, read, and we pray together. And if we don't, Hudson is very good at reminding us that Mommy and Daddy, we haven't sang, read, and prayed together. And he'll come in, and there are just nights where Mommy and Daddy are tired, or Mommy and Daddy have had a long day, or we get home very late. And there's just times that we haven't. And Hudson is very good at reminding us that that is our ministry first. And it's a very good thing for us, even whenever we're tired, that we have a six-year-old that comes and reminds us. But Hudson is on, he enjoys the account of Samson. So he asked us the other night if we could start reading the account of Samson again. And so as I'm reading through this portion of scripture, God just really starts dealing with my heart. So we get done, and this was Tuesday night, Wednesday night, maybe somewhere Tuesday. As we get done, I go to my room, and I just, as the Lord starts laying stuff out, here comes the message. And so that is what you guys are going to hear this evening. This message, my hope is that I'm able to present this in a way that's a little more tactful. And that's something else that God has really been dealing with me on, and something that Chelsea and I talked about as I left this morning is, my intention is always pure, to rightly divide the word of God, but to encourage the brethren, because there is a deep burden for me to encourage you all to continue in the faith, to continue what God has called you to do and asking you to do. And sometimes it does come across abrasive. And I don't necessarily apologize for that, but God is dealing with me on that, just so you all know. I also know that my voice at times can be a little loud, maybe possibly intimidating. So tonight, as we go through this portion of scripture, the hope is that I can present something to you to encourage you all, that through God's word, as he encouraged me in this, that you guys would take this and that this would revolutionize even your witness. So if you want a title for the message this morning, it's out of Judges 14. We'll be in verses 5 through 9. And the title for the message this morning is Honey from the Lion. Honey from the Lion. Starting in verse number 5, the Bible says, "Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and he went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you deal with the hearts of men, that you deal with my heart. And Lord, I praise you for that. I pray that that would never cease in my life, that I would have a heart that's malleable, that, Lord, can be turned and swayed, and Father, that you would use. Lord, I pray that for your people this evening. Father, that you would help them. You'd help them to hear the word of God, and that they would take it in, that they would glean something from the message this evening. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do we know about Samson? Let's get some prerequisites out of the way here prior to getting into the message. Samson, he saw this woman, and he's gone to his parents and let his parents know that he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came to tell his father and his mother that he had seen her and that he is going there to take her for a wife. And his father and his mother, he questioned them. They questioned him. They say, "Isn't there one of ours that you could take for a wife?" And he said, "No, this is the one that I'm going to take." They asked him, "Why take a wife of an uncircumcised Philistine?" And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." But listen, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. God would use all of this to bring judgment to the Philistines ultimately through the life of Samson. But in this moment in his life, Samson is looking for a wife, and he sees the daughter of a Philistine, and he tells his father, "Father, go get her for me. Go to Timnath and go get me this wife." And his father says to him, "Why of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And he says, "Go," not knowing that this is the will of God. His mother and his father, not knowing that this is the will of God, that God would then use Samson as judgment to the Philistines. So Samson, as he's going down to Timnath, he comes upon this vineyard. And at this vineyard, this lion jumps out at him and roars. And the Spirit of God falls on Samson, and he rents the lion. And he lays the carcass down on the side of the road and continues his journey to go get his wife. And after getting his wife, he's traveling back, and he looks to the side, and he sees the carcass of this lion still laying on the side of the road, and inside of it is a swarm of bees and a honeycomb. And he takes and he eats of that honeycomb and takes that to his parents, telling no one what God had done, but he brings this sweet honey back to his home. Samson wasn't looking for a fight that day. He didn't go down the road desiring to fight anyone. He was just walking ultimately in the will of God, going to Timnath to go get his wife. He was walking a road he had walked before. We could assume that Samson had many times traveled the same road to Timnath and back home. So he was walking a road that was very familiar to him. Sometimes for you and I, the most dangerous moments in our life aren't when we're running away from God. They aren't even in our apathy. They're when we're just moving along in our Christian walk. They're whenever we're walking even with the Lord, close to Him and near to Him, that some of our strongest, most tempting, most dire circumstances happen in our life. See, he was walking a road that he had walked before, walking in the Lord's will to go get his wife. And behold, a young lion roared against him. The problem was for Samson is that young lion didn't give him warning. That young lion came out of nowhere and started to roar. There wasn't a buildup. There was no explanation. It just ultimately became a threat. There was something that came up against even the will of God. Notice this. That as he's walking along in God's will to go get his wife, a lion comes and stands in his way and roars. What do we know about our enemy? He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. For us, that's how some of our hardest seasons have begun. There isn't some big announcement. There isn't mercy from the enemy. It's just pressure. Just pressure, ultimately. Just pressure. We're walking close and dear to the Lord, and we're walking in God's way, and all of a sudden the enemy roars its ugly head. Without warning. Without announcement. Just a threat, and then pressure from every side. The Bible doesn't say that Samson stopped to pray. It doesn't say that he even hesitated. It says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. This wasn't because Samson was ready, but it's because God was ready. The thing that we need to understand in our trial and the circumstances that try to destroy us, the moments that the enemy steps in the way of God's will and tries to devour us, we need to understand that this does not escape God in any way. He knows. He sees it beforehand. And what does he do? He gave Samson the strength to rent the lion. See, the lion didn't die because Samson was strong. I think that's one of the misconceptions that we see of Scripture. Because even as the Philistines looked upon Samson, they didn't see him for might or strength. We have this depiction of Samson being this massive, large man, but I see nowhere in Scripture that says that. Everywhere in Scripture that I see Samson doing the work of the Lord, it's because the Spirit of God fell on Samson. That's what I see. This isn't in his might or in his strength, but it's because the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. The lion didn't die because God refused to let his purpose end in the vineyards of Timnath. Understand this, brothers and sisters. It is one of the sweetest revelations I had of the Scripture. This one and the one that I'll share with you in a minute. God will not allow his purposes to die because the enemy comes against you. But he will give you strength to defeat him. He will give you power from on high. And then something strange happens. Samson kills the lion and then keeps walking. Could you imagine that? I couldn't. I couldn't imagine having walked down this road that I was familiar with, and all of a sudden this young lion pops out of this vineyard to come kill me. I could imagine at that time that lion was very, very hungry. There is no mistake for me that this was the enemy coming against the will of God to devour Samson. This wasn't just a roar to threaten him. This wasn't just a roar to get him to turn back. This was a roar that he was going to be killed and devoured. And then God stepped in. And then Samson, he continues to walk. See, for me, I'm not sure that I wouldn't have ran back home, tail tucked between my legs, and told my mommy and daddy that I'd almost got eaten by a lion. Or after God allowed me the might to rent him and to throw his carcass on the side of the road, that I wouldn't have gone and told everybody what had just happened. The miracle of God that just happened. But that's not what happened, is it? He keeps walking and he gets to Timnath. There is no celebration. There's no testimony. He didn't build an altar. There's just a dead lion and a carcass that lays on the side of the road that God did not remove. God leaves the body there. And I need you to understand something, that it matters that God left the carcass on the side of the road. There's a reason why whenever Samson walked back home that carcass was laying on the side of the road and he turned to see it. It was a reminder. See, because God could have allowed it just to rot away. He could allow the vultures to come in and to finish it off. But instead, time passes. He goes to Timnath, and as he's coming back, there's something that moves in. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Listen to how beautiful this is. God lets life grow in what once tried to kill Samson. This lion tried to kill him, to thwart the will of God. And then God allows something of life and beauty and health and wellness to grow in that carcass. It was intentional. If we're not careful, we want to erase the battles that God has won in our life. We don't want to go and tell anybody of the struggle that we had that God allowed us mightily to overcome, or the threat of the enemy that God allows us to defeat. We want to erase it or hide it from others. We don't want to give testimony of it. But God wants to redeem those things in our lives. He wants to use those things in our lives as testimony for His glory. There are things that God defeats in your life that He does not remove from your memory. Understand this. Brother, there's a thorn in the flesh. There are things in our life that God does not want to remove from our memory, because later He intends to use it to feed you. Think about this. This is what I'm talking about. I'm getting goosebumps. Because we'll just read over this and not really get what is happening in the life of Samson. So Samson literally reaches into the belly of the beast and pulls out sweetness. He pulls out a honeycomb and he starts to eat it. Who else do we know that went into the belly of the beast and brought out something sweet? His name is Jesus. He went into the belly of hell and came out with salvation. This isn't a natural occurrence. This isn't some human thing. It's not coincidence. This is something that takes place that is supernatural and done only by God. We may try to take what we see as failure and defeat, what we see as even something that may have killed us, and if we're not careful, we'll take it and we'll hide it. We'll keep it to ourselves. But what does Samson do? This isn't a coincidence. God is saying to us that you thought this was an end of you, but I planned it to sustain you. It was something that could have killed Samson. But imagine how weary Samson must have been, even on that walk back home from Timnath. And what did God do? He allowed the thing that was going to defeat him and kill him to then be his sustenance. It became what fed him. And then what happened? Notice this. Samson doesn't explain it. He doesn't give testimony. There is no advertisement. What happens is he eats it and then he keeps walking home. He eats it and he keeps walking. I need you to understand something first. And this is something that I had to realize. Is that not every victory is meant to be shared. Not all of our victories are meant for applause. They're for endurance. It is meant to remind us that God met us there. There are going to be struggle and trial in our life that seemingly try to kill us, try to thwart the will of God. But if we allow God to deal with our hearts over those things, if we come back once and for all to the carcass and to realize what God has done and what could have killed us, it may sustain you. It may give you endurance. I can tell you personally in my own life as testimony that those things that the enemy intended to destroy me, God has used for his glory. And whatever he does, there's such sweetness that comes from that. He later turns it into a riddle. He talks about out of the eater came forth the meat, and out of the strong came forth the sweetness, which is theology, which is a depiction of Christ. Like I said, that sweetness came out of the belly of the beast, out of something that intended evil against us. God brought goodness. See, death thought it had won. The lion flexed, but God didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. He gave life in a place that could have been death. Tonight, if you're standing in front of something that death tried to take, something that once threatened you, don't just rush past the carcass. It's something that I need in my own life. That whenever I see these things that could have easily defeated me, and I keep that to myself, there are some times whenever we should. Samson kept what had happened to himself. But guess what he did? Look at the scripture. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him. And 9. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. Think about this. Something that tried to kill Samson, that tried to thwart the will of God, God allowed life and sweetness to grow from it. And Samson, he stopped at that carcass, the thing that tried to kill him, and realized that there was honey there. And he reached his hand into the carcass of the thing that tried to defeat him and ate from it. And then what did he do? He took it and he fed others. He took it and he fed others. There isn't a mistake of what happened this morning here. That was war. It just was. Being honest with you was kind of embarrassing. But you guys saw it right in front of your face. You saw a war that I have been fighting for 3 years come to fruition. You saw it. Because the enemy is trying to thwart the things that are happening. But there is sweetness whenever you share some of those testimonies, God's Spirit mightily coming upon you and helping you defeat the enemy. There's sweetness whenever you get to share that with others. There may be somebody in this congregation tonight. There may be people that you come across in your daily life, in your daily walk, that thing that almost defeated you may be killing them. And you have sweetness that have grown from it. And you can reach your hand into that thing that almost killed you, and you can share it with others that they might also taste the sweetness of that defeat. Because who won that victory that day? God did. Samson did. The enemy did not. Brothers and sisters, if you're still here today, the enemy has not won. There are still some carcasses on the side of the road that if we're not careful, we'll just pass by. We won't go back to it. We won't allow God to bring sweetness from it. That is my encouragement as I went through this portion of Scripture, is that if we will allow God to bring sweetness of the things that might have killed us, we can take it and feed others.